Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Hey gang, welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, where we talk about some off-road things in Minnesota and about our builds. But today is a little different. I wanted to touch base on some cool things I heard on other podcasts. Now, I listened to a few different ones, and one that you guys probably should check out is probably the Truck Show Podcast. And they hit on something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. And it's, they talked about the Shelby F-150 that's coming out that you can order. But first, I'm going to back up a bit and talk about C10 talk a little bit. And then about my idea about 6-liter swaps on two-wheel drive GM vehicles. So why am I talking about this? Well, if I didn't have a Jeep, what would be the thing I would concentrate on? Kind of what my other obsession might be. And I really like regular cab short box pickups. I think they look cool. They have everything you want to go fast, or you know, even off-roading a little bit, maybe a little light off-roading, and nothing you don't. It also says, hey, it's just me and one other person and not my whole family. So it's kind of like your different type of vehicle, I guess, than like a convertible or a two-door Jeep or stuff like that. It's just everything you need, nothing you don't need, to kind of with you type of idea. So when I get into, when I see something I like, I kind of start thinking, well, what could I do with that? So every now and again, I see out on the road just a, you know, 5 to 10 year old vehicle that looks cool, a little lowered stance to it. I have bigger wheels and tires. There's a few in my neighborhood, actually, where I'll see it every now and again. There's a red one. And then one day I was at a stoplight, and I pulled up next to this guy. And he was a younger kid. And this was a couple months ago, actually. And he said, hey, nice Jeep. I said, nice truck. And it was a two-door, short box. It was a GMC, I believe, even, pickup truck. And I go, does that have a 5.3 in it? And he goes, nope, it's a swapped in 6-liter. And before I could say, you know, hey, I want to talk to you more, light turned green, we left. So it was a swapped in 6-liter. So I started doing some research on it when I got back home. And apparently that's a thing where these guys will buy a bare bones V6, you know, 10-year-old GM or GMC or Chevy pickup, and a swap in a 6-liter. It's a deal. So I don't know if they swap in the entire drivetrain from engine, transmission, and rear axle, or they just get the motor in there, but it's a great way to get power. And I did talk to the guy enough when I went to stoplight. He goes, yeah, next week I have a supercharger coming. So did some research on that. So a 6-liter with a supercharger, they're looking right around 500 horsepower with just those two things, I believe. I could be wrong, but that's, you know, the motor, ironically, they're picking up for $400 or $500. They're not spending a whole bunch to pick that up out of a boneyard. So they can get that out of some vans, even some bigger passenger vans, or you know, obviously the 3/4 ton pickups, the 1 ton pickups will have that 6-liter in it from a few years back before they went now to the 6.6 gassers. But it's not a bad swap to pick up if you know how to do a little engine swap. Obviously, I don't. I've never done that. But there's probably some kits out there to do that. So my thought process is if you're going to do something like that, you'd want to have out of a 3/4 ton pickup. That way you can get the motor, transmission, and rear end. So if you're able to find something at the boneyard that's wrecked or you know, rusted out type of thing, and you have a newer model vehicle that you want to put it in, or you know, a relatively rust-free vehicle you want to put it in, that would be the way to do it, I would think, outside looking in. Why would you want to do this? Well, it's a muscle truck. If you watch anything on Motor Trend, they talk about the muscle trucks that they build, Freiberger and Finnegan. They have a truck they took. It's pretty cool, so you can YouTube and probably find it. But they have, you know, 400, 500, 600 horsepower, and their muscle truck, two-wheel drive, short box. They actually have a flare side, or kind of the they call them bubble sides, whatever they call them on the Chevy side of the world, with the flare sides. And they will soup them up and kind of have fun with them. They're just cool looking trucks, I think. The proportions are right, and they're lighter, faster. You know, they lower them down, they do a bunch of stuff with them. So I just think they have a nice look to it. And a little more, like I said, sportier. That's why I'm kind of talking about it today. So C10s, the C10 Talk podcast, is a pretty well-known podcast in the truck world. And basically, obviously, most more tool drive with the C10s they're talking about is the short box, regular cab pickups. And they're pretty hot in the market in terms of how much they cost compared to your 8-foot boxes. The 6.5s are definitely desired ones, so much so that people will buy the regular 8-foot box and chop it down a little bit too, and chop the frame and make it into a short box. That's also happened too. Also, so C10 talk is, it's almost all about that. They do have the 3/4 tons, the 1 tons, the 4-door boxes and stuff like that. A friend of mine from high school, he actually builds late 70s, Fords, and he finds crew cabs, builds them all up and sells them. So if he does that, he ends up selling for 40-50 grand, tries to find a Cummins or a diesel and the, you know, frame and everything, puts the whole thing right on there. He does that out of his house. Been to his diesel shop. He has a diesel shop for business. Been to his diesel shop just to kind of look around. He built a mid-70s, you know, regular cab 8-foot box for his dad and gave it to him for his birthday. So, and my dad had one of those, a 76 model actually. Another friend of mine, he has a 77 he built up while I was in college. So kind of been around those for a while too. But again, those are usually 8-foot box trucks. So I like that. That's what I had growing up, was that's what I call a real truck, a real farm truck, or a truck that, you know, you're using for work. You're not hauling your family around. Trucks kind of nowadays kind of gotten to a point where they're Swiss Army knife. They do a little bit of everything. I have one. I have a 4-door truck with a 6.5-foot box actually that hauls my family around. That's our family hauler now for more than one reason. I bought that and it does everything for me. But after the kids are grown up and gone, I might actually go back to a regular cab truck because I think it fits in the garage better and get it for cheaper basically. So my dad growing up, we had a 76, then we had an 86 pickup that I drove a lot, you know, both of those are 4-speeds. And then after we were all gone, I actually got a GMC, it was a half ton, but it had a 350 in it, and it had a short box extended cab. Kind of wanted that. So he had that until he passed. But I think for the most part, my kit growing up, it was always the 8-foot bed and the regular cab. And that we just used that obviously for work. And it was his travel for he would pick up parts or he went anywhere. That's the truck vehicle he drove. So long story longer, one of the other things I'm very into though, I think would be cool to have, if I had one more vehicle to have in my, after the 4 I already have, would be short box, regular cab, with tool drive probably, and, would definitely have a bigger V8 in it, have to be a V8, you know? So seeing that these 6-liter swaps into the GMCs, you know, they usually have the V6 in them. They throw a 6-liter in. I thought they'd be more 5.3s, but they go 6-liter, probably because they have the opportunity and boost the power up a lot more, probably more torque, obviously, in the 6-liters, and they're probably more plentiful in a boneyard, maybe, for all I know. I thought, between vans and everything, it's more desirable for one reason or another. They're more desirable for the swap process. So that's a cool thing. I think that's a cool deal. Now, all being said, if you're able to find a truck that's in good shape for 10, 12 grand maybe, and you get the motor for a few grand, all the swap, you're under 20 grand probably to get it done, minus the supercharger. If you went the supercharger route just to be crazy, then you add another 5 to that, maybe 25 grand, you get a really fun muscle truck. Now, those are just round numbers I'm dealing with. There's somebody who might pop on and say something different, but I think that's cool looking truck for the money that you have. C10s, if you build one of those up, you're probably talking 50 grand because they are so desirable. Now, are the, you know, trucks from 10, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, are they going to get to that price someday? Who knows? But they don't make these trucks all that often with a V8 built into it. If they're, the short box, you know, regular cab, they're usually for like a work truck, base model type of deal. It'll come with V8. So if you do all this, and then, you know, there's bound to be a collector out there who might want it. But if you're just a guy who wants to pound the street and make some noise, drive around, they're pretty cool to have. You know, you can build them up to, you know, like I said, 400 or 500 horsepower, and to crank, maybe a little less at the wheel, or you want to get crazy, you can go higher than that. I think this thing would be a cool thing to do. So that's one of my weird obsessions that I have that I always want to do. Now, listening to the Truck Show podcast, there is a company out there, Shelby, you've heard of them, and they have out there, I'm on their website right now, and they have you know, Shelby. They have 775 horsepower they can put into any Ford truck you want, basically. But I'm trying to find this Shelby 150. There it was. Cars, careers, events, media. I'll find it. But in the end of the day, though, they have some vehicles out there. They have a short box, extended cab. Regular cab, short box, F-150 with 775 horsepower. And there it is. Now I found it. It's called their Super Snake. They have a Super Snake Sport. Starts off, this includes the vehicle itself, which is, includes 2021 XLT 4x4 F-150. So I believe this vehicle even has four-wheel drive, $98,000. This is with 775 horsepower. They said their projected volume, how many they want to do, is 300 of them. They also have a Sport, which and they have a natural aspirated, which is about 91,400 horsepower. Not sure why you do all the trimmings and make it look like it has a lot of power. They only have it set up for, 400 horsepower. If you can do all that, spend the extra $7,000. So they have a Sport that has a 775 horsepower also, I believe. And then they have, like I said, the National Aspirate for 400. So, at the end of the day, this thing looks pretty dang sharp. So this comes from from Shelby via the factory of Ford. So it can have 0 miles on it or very few miles and have all that power. Why would you want to go through Shelby to do it all? Well, they do more than just the motor. It has a lowering kit built into it. It has the suspension. It's built up to go take some corners to all new adjustable suspension. I'm not trying to be an ad for it. I go, this is just looks like a pretty sweet package. That's why I'm bringing it up. So if I had money to burn, this would be definitely one I'd be looking at. And that being said, I'm not a Ford or Chevy, GM, Dodge guy. I used to be a Ford guy. Then I started getting into GMs now, but I go back and forth. I don't care. I just like to have ones that look good at the time. I got into GMs because I wanted a certain feature. Now I can go back to Ford because I don't want the rust because they are aluminum. So it'd be cool to kind of go back. But at the end of the day, though, this looks pretty slick. So take a look at their website, Google it, find it yourself. But it seems like these guys, I was listening to their podcast, and they're bantering back and forth a lot about this. One guy hasn't had a truck for a while, and now he's on a truck show podcast. It's kind of funny, so they always give him crap. But he's thinking about maybe this could be his vehicle. But he wants to build it up. He wants to just get a stock, Ford, and then do all the work himself versus have somebody else do it, which I can see that. But could you do it for cheaper is always the answer. Could you do it for cheaper or just, call the people up and just order one? So I always think about that. I said about the 6-liter swap in a GMC. You get it done for $25,000. You build four of them for the price of this one, to be honest with you. So what's better, who knows, but this one obviously has 775 horsepower. Is it still all-wheel drive? That's what I'd like to know, because it starts with the all-wheel drive. Does it stay all-wheel drive? Well, they just have the 4x4 because, good platform to start with, or they want to get all that power to the ground. So all these things are questions that I have after listening to this podcast. But at the end of the day, I thought it was a cool thing to talk about, so that's why I brought it up. So, yeah. That's the first thing I want to talk about. The second one is a meet and greet on September 11th at Under Pressure. This is something somebody else sent me. I'm not sure the event. I'll know more about the event coming up, but it's 4 to 6 p.m., a little Jeep event there. So I'm going to jump in on that on September 11th. That is let me check what day of the week it is. I'm going to have to work that day, but hopefully it's a Saturday. I believe it was. I looked it up before. That is a Saturday, so cool. I'm going to that one on September 11th, a little meet and greet. Not sure who I'm meeting and greeting, but if you guys are listening to this and looking to have a beer or two, let's make it happen. I'm going to go ahead and jump in on that. I've been wanting to do that myself, just have a listener event where I just meet people who listen to the podcast, who they're out there. It's a nice day, they're out in their Jeep, they want to pop in and see it. In meetup. I'd love to meet some of the listeners, more of the listeners. So I have, this one is Under Pressure Brewing. Hopefully see you guys there. That's kind of something else I want to bring up and talk about, is that piece right there. So yeah, there's little fun things I'm going to do with some of my friends here. So I'd love to see you on that one. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little about some other things we have going on right now. So a little break time here. Hey guys, no matter where you're at, I can help you get more fit. I work with people online all the time. I have clients in North Dakota. I have clients on the East Coast. I have clients in Texas. I have clients overseas at times. So if you're looking for some more work out at home, if you're in the metro and you want to work out in person, I do that too. But if you're really looking for something online at your whim, like when you want to work out, let me know. I have some availability and some small group work. I also do one-on-one work. So if you're looking to be more fit and you have a little bit of space in your house, I can work with you. I'm going to tell you that there's not as many excuses as you think to get and be more fit. So again, just reach out to me online. My main business is Prime Shape Fitness, or you can just reply on any Facebook post that I have, or you can just message me through Facebook. But I'd love to hear from you. So again, thanks for listening, and back to the podcast. So yeah, back again here in the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. So I did some research on the brake because I was curious. But you can get a short box regular cab Ford with a 5 liter with 400 horsepower Ram 5.7, 395 and 410 torque. The Ford also has 410 torque. GMC, all I could find was the 5.3s. I don't think you could order anything else besides the 5.3. That's the 355 and 383 torque. So maybe that's why guys are putting the 6 liters in, because they want a little more power on those motors, or because they can't order them from the factory. But I know you can get a Ram all day with that 5.7. They're a little more prevalent. You know, they're out there. Obviously, the Ford's one of the top-selling vehicles out there. You can find that also pretty easily. So, yeah, I was just doing some research in between, just kind of see what else is out there. What can you get from the factory just direct? And so that's where it's at. But, again, if you're looking for big power, the Shelby F-150 is where it's at. Look it up. I was just looking at the website. They're awesome. So, coolio. Things are going on here. I didn't break anything on my Jeep because we haven't been out much. We've been mainly just to bounce around town, top down, doors off type of weather right now. Haven't been on too many trips. Reason I've been so busy and not doing as many episodes lately is just got the kids going back to school and concentrating on that. We got a senior this year. So, yeah, my time is kind of stuck in watching everything he does, because last time we get to do it with him when he's close. So just things like that have been getting in the way. But, you know, my buddy Wade, he's been on a podcast a bunch. He blew up his rear locker. It was the limited slip, I guess, is bad in the Rubicons. That goes bad, and that's kind of what bad in his. He kind of heard some noise back there, started tearing it apart, and so he is up on jack stands right now. And so his fix is he bought two different front lockers that work on the rear locker, kind of taking that limited slip out altogether. So he got one because he needed it, and then the other one popped up. It was a good deal, so he's got two of them. He also twisted up some axle shafts. So in the end, he's got a little bit of a project on him. I'd love to have him on the podcast, talk about it more, but he's got a real job and it has to work. Can't always get him on here to do this. But yeah, that's kind of what he was been working on lately, is that piece right there. So he was almost going to go to the ARB setup. So he's going to kind of have, you know, two different sets of locker styles in. I'm glad he kind of found what he did for himself. So he's got the stock system going back in, two front lockers. But that works for his Rubicon in the rear too. So excited to see how that works out for him. And then just going with stock axles. But the biggest problem he's having is getting the seal caps put in. Just the odds and end pieces needed to get a job like that done. Mainly because some things are just behind. The shipping process is just hard to come by. And that's for a lot of people if they're trying to ship right now. Example I use is my shoes. I use about the same set of shoes for, you know, umpteen years from what I do for my regular day job. And I went to the store to talk to the guy. Hey, I want these specific shoes. He goes, well, they're stuck in the West Coast on a boat because the shipping, you know, they're bringing the ship into the harbor. The last, you know, little bit they need to do is all stuck because of the things we're in right now. So the shoe company is spending an extra $60 million to airlift stuff in, so kind of circumvent that harbor to bring it directly into town, like, you know, probably Chicago, to be honest with you, so they can get the shoes out. So I go, well, when they come in? He goes, October 11th is the next time we're going to have that shoe in. This is a month ago that was in. He says, I can't wait that long. My ankle's killing me. I need to have a newer shoe again. So I went with an alternative, I guess. Ended up being cheaper than I usually pay for, ironically, so I was happy there. But for the most part, you're going to spend more. And that's where Wade's having trouble. He's like, well, I'm looking for a company that's not going to, you know, charge me $300 or $350 for the thing. Like it was, I can get it for $100.50 of another company. I'm just trying to see if I can get this other company to come down. So he's bouncing around. He's going to get that figured out. So right now he's driving his big old van for his daily driver. But for the most part, he's just waiting for the odds and ends pieces to come to town. So he's got some stuff. The big pieces are on their way, but the little pieces that you need, the fine-tune what you need to do, the shims and the bearings and so on, he's waiting on those pieces. So hopefully this fall we'll get out there for our Gilbert trip. We did that last couple years where we went and one time we stayed in a hotel. Last year we actually camped. That was fine. That time of year, I mean, September is the to be honest, if you guys have never been to Gilbert in September, October, best time to be there. I think mid to late September is when the colors up in that neck of the woods start to change. I would definitely suggest making a trip up there. There's different campsites. I know there's one that's right on there. I got to go back and talk to Corey again because he told me the name of it. It's right on the trail. I think that's one we're going to switch to. But I'm going to try to get out to Gilbert this fall. And I found, I think I mentioned that I have a, well, yeah, maybe I have it. I went and got my oil changed. And the guy came back and says, because I don't do my own oil change because I like to have somebody else check a couple things out while I'm in there. So I had him check a couple other things out. They did a tire rotation for me. I went with the 4 tire rotation this time. Controversial, I know. Usually I do a 5. But I think I'm going to keep, you know, keep 33s on this for a while. So I'm going to keep that spare kind of looking good. And so I just did a 4 tire rotation. See if I change my mind. But I had him put in Valvoline Long Life non-synthetic, so it's regular oil. It helps, supposed to take care of the tick that's in the 4 liters. Instead of putting synthetic, you don't want a synthetic on the 4 liter. So I got that from David Freiberger from Motor Trend. He has a 4 liter. He has also, his Jeep has Dana 35 in the rear. Ironically, everybody will say, well, that thing's glass. It's going to blow up. He has 35-inch tires on it, locker in the back. And he goes, I'm going to keep running it until it blows up. So that's kind of his attitude on it. And he's had this thing for years. And so you can go on YouTube and he'll tell you all about it. On his YouTube, just type in David Freiberger in YouTube. If you guys don't know who David Freiberger is, he's like the Motor Trend Hot Rod TV guy. He was an off-roading guy forever too. He does the, he did a little bit of dirt every day, but mainly he's done the roadkill stuff. So if you guys followed anything on YouTube with Motor Trend and their change from being just a magazine to an online presence, video presence, he's their guy. He's on everything. He's a hardworking fella. So anyhow, he has a Jeep TJ and with a 4 liter stick shift, manual transmission, and Dana 35 rear end, which would surprise me a lot, but it looks great and he has it all built up. It's awesome. Not a super crazy off-roader, just a little bit. They even have 33s. I don't know, I have to watch the video again. But anyhow, Dana 35 is holding up for him. But where was I going with that? Well, so anyhow, that's a couple things I've been into lately. I'm trying to think where I was going with that part. But there you go. Yeah. So Gilbert. That's where I was going. So I got, before I go, like I said, I was getting oil change done, doing some work. I had them fill the coolant up on there a little bit, just check that, because I would get a little alert to, you know, check my gauges if it was a little hot. So I'm guessing the coolant was a bit low. They did a few other things to it, just a little odds and ends stuff. I'm just like, yeah, take care of that. It's cost me $80 to get all that done. So I'm just happy to let them do it. But he comes back, yeah, you have a nice dent in your oil pan. And I said, oh, is it bad? Do I need to change the oil pan out and get a new one? I'm fine with doing that. It's no big deal. He goes, ah, it's fine. It's not leaking anywhere. He goes, just keep going until you hit another one. And I thought, well, I think I'm going to get the, before I go to Gilbert, I think I will order up an oil pan skid plate. And I've been waiting to do another couple more skid plates here and there because I want to do an oil pan skid plate now, but I was going to do a steering box skid plate too. Wade has that, my brother Mike has that, and it seems like a good idea, especially if you go to Gilbert a lot. But the last few times that we've been to Gilbert, it's been in the fall. Great weather to go camping because at night it cools down, there's no bugs. Temperature would drop down into the 60s and the 50s, so sitting in a tent, no problem. Last time we went to Veterans Park, I believe, up there, and we had showers, regular bathroom, which is nice after being on a trail or just, you know, want to hose yourself off a little bit. Felt good. This year, we're going to change it up a little bit, go to one that's right on the park, I believe. Another thing they had, too, that I didn't take advantage of, they had outlets right there for you. Obviously, you would plug in the campers. We were just tenting it out. We didn't care. But that would be nice to have. I was thinking next time I bring an extension cord so I could plug my cell phone in. It's just simple and stuff like that. Bring an extension cord or put my tent right next to it, what have you, so I could just plug right in. I brought up a battery for my leaf blower, and it has an inverter built into it so I could plug it in. But it would charge my cell phone one time and my watch. I did also my Apple Watch. And then my brother stole it and charged his stuff too. But then it killed the battery. I was ironically, I'm like, that thing should, you know, fill it up 40 times. And here it only did it a couple nights. I'm like, well, next time I'm just bringing an extension cord. I don't have to worry about bringing this big old honking battery that weighs a ton that hooks up to my leaf blower. But yeah, that's a trip I want to do coming up. So I know there's some other clubs that have, I think the Lizards, they go up there in September around that same time frame. I'm trying to work around, like I said, my senior, and watching him play football is a big deal, so I've got to work around that a little bit. But hopefully I got some trips planned for this fall. I love the fall. It's my favorite season, hands down, best season out there. Way better than spring, way better than winter. Summer's a distant second in my mind in terms of the season, so I love fall, mainly because there's no bugs and it gets cool at night. You can sleep in a tent. There you go. So that's kind of the things we have planned coming up. Hopefully we get some, you know, all the Jeeps back on the road in our little club that we have. Hopefully we see you guys at the meet and greet at Under Pressure on 9/11. It's not my meet and greet, but I'm going to crash it and make it mine. So I'll probably bring my recording stuff and see if some people want to talk about their Jeep a little bit and about their Minnesota off-roading experiences. Take a look at those websites I mentioned if you want. That's something you're into. I'm always interested to hear what people are into besides Jeeps. You know, I'm going to have some other people on podcast soon who've been working on some projects and some other businesses. But I think Jeeps is just one of the things I'm into. I just wish I had more garage space for some of the other ideas that I have. So like my buddy Wade, he's into, obviously, motorcycles. I used to be in ATVs till one bit back at me, so not in ATVs as much anymore. Still look at them online on Pinterest or on different things. I still look at them. I still, every now and again, kind of get the itch. But they hurt a little bit when they land on you. So that's why I'm not into them anymore. I'll look at them, but I'll never own one again probably. For those four-wheelers, that's a thing of the past. I like roll cages now. But yeah, thanks for listening and listening to me drivel on about random stuff. But that was what I was interested in. I've been wanting to talk about those short box regular cab pickups for a while. I think they're just the coolest thing ever. Probably ride rough, but I don't care. I think they look the coolest. So if there's something different you're into, you want to hear more about, let me know. I definitely have some people coming on the podcast that have been on before that give us updates on their big major builds they have going on. I just reached out to the TJ6 guy, Tommy, and his has been on hiatus. So there's another guy named Kevin. He has the J10. He's probably going to be on sometime soon. So we'll hear more about their projects, and hopefully your projects are going just fine. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness, your one-stop shop for your fitness needs.